Good evening. How's everybody tonight? There we go. All right. If you open with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. This particular piece has been in my heart for a little while. And I think as I read through it and as I got into it, it's one of those rare moments in the Word. And it's touched my heart. But I want to talk just a few minutes about the number 3. Number 3 is pretty special, isn't it? Probably one of the first things we rode was a tricycle, 3 wheels. We got the 3 amigos, we got 3 blind mice. There's a whole bunch of 3s, ain't there? What's the 1-3 that comes to mind, right? Yeah, Father, Son, and Holy. Now, when I was an instructor for Eustace, I was just a platform instructor. However, the drill sergeant came along, and I asked him a question. I said, why do the privates, because there are a whole bunch of privates on the post, bunches of them, hundreds of them, why do they always go in 3s? He said, well, 3 is a pretty good number for them. It's not enough to get in too much trouble, right? But it's just enough they can hold their own if there is trouble. And he said, but you got to watch out, because when you got 3... sometimes you got the 3 musketeers, and sometimes you got, yeah, that's right, you guessed it, the 3 stooges. All right, so you got to watch out for the 3. We got the best 3 going, though. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, don't we? There's a lot of 3s in the Bible, and I can run through a whole bunch of them. Paul was shipwrecked 3 times. Paul asked the Lord to remove the thorn in his side 3 times. 3 comes to mind when we think of Adam and Eve and unfortunately the serpent in the garden. Ezekiel 4:13, a 3-fold cord not quickly broken. Isn't that true? A lot of times that's referred to as a husband, a wife, and God. Not easily broken. Let's look at this other 3, and I want to look over here just for a minute at verse 11. Let's just read that, and then a couple other verses. And this is John the Baptist, and he's baptizing folks. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Verse 13, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and enlightening upon him. And suddenly a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It's quite a piece of work there, isn't it? I think if John knew the responsibility that he was going to baptize Jesus and start his ministry on that day, he might have, if he'd have known ahead of time, might have stepped back and said, oh, well, wait a minute now. I don't know if that's me or not. But there's 3 baptisms here. In verse 11, it talks about a water baptism that John is baptizing these folks. And then it talks about a baptism of the Holy Spirit and a baptism of fire. And of course, the one we're talking about up front is John baptizing. And John baptizes Jesus ultimately. And then the Holy Spirit, that's a baptism that we have and we gain when we become saved. An indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then that fire. Well, I'm glad that's the one that, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we won't be a part of that. But that's the Father. That's his judgment, isn't it? He sets aside the wheat and he takes the chaff and puts it into an unquenchable fire. He separates the goats from the sheep. That's the Father. So there's three baptisms there. But the story really starts in verse 13. Verse 13, when Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan, he baptized him. To be baptized by him, excuse me. This was an intentional act. Now we think to ourselves, a lot of people were there. But see, most of the commentaries that I read said that Jesus, in coming there, had about a 60-mile trek. He wasn't right there immediately. So he had to start his journey probably 2 days before. So it was a very intentional act. It was not just a, well, let's go see what's going on down at the river. Very intentional. He knew it was his time to start his ministry, and this is how I'm going to start it. So he goes there, and he starts his ministry. Now, verse 14, and John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? And John, rightfully so, he's sitting there and he's going, not me, you baptize me, I want that. But I don't have the right to baptize you. And he says, and he's saying, well, you're the man. Now, I've had a few people in my lifetime tell me, you're the man. I don't believe them. I ain't going to lie to you. I'm about as sharp as a whole bag of hammers. So I don't believe you. But I did have an individual here at this assembly about a year after I got here called me the man. He even said, I'm going to make you, well, I don't know if he said that. He said, I'm going to allow you to be one of my 10. I had only been here about a year, and I thought to myself, wait a minute now. This individual's, he's the man. But he's going to make me one of his 10? What are we talking about here? I thought, is there a cult going on? I'm not sure what we're doing. And then he explained to me, he said, you see, I'm retired. And in our society and how this works is, if I'm retired and I'm collecting Social Security, it takes 10 working men to pay me. And I said, well, you know what? If I got to pay some taxes, that's where I want it to go. That's where I want it to go. So, you know, being the man sometimes means you're receiving and sometimes means you're giving. All right. But the next thing that happens there in verse 15, but Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now. So picture this for just a minute in your mind's eye. John's standing there, Jesus is standing with him, and he's saying, baptize me. And John is saying, I don't think that's my place. But Jesus comes and he puts his hand on his shoulder and he just says, John, just let it be so. Let it be so. And then the next thing there, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. See, because Jesus had a mission in mind from start to finish. This is where it's going to start. This is how it's going to start. His timing, his actions, everything was purposeful and was perfect. All John had to do was, you heard the very next thing there, is then he allowed him. Now, there I was, and as I went through this verse and I started putting this all together, these couple of verses here, I thought about myself. You know, I always try and apply something to me. It's hard to get things through the head, but try to apply things to me. And there I was in Huntsville, Alabama, without a job, looking for a job, and I just couldn't find a job. There were some there, but I went to an interview and it didn't work out. And Huntsville is a military town, man. There's companies everywhere. I'm thinking I should be able to get a job. And pretty soon you start thinking to yourself, well, maybe this isn't what I want to do. Maybe there's something else. And of course, as you're praying about this and you're thinking about this and you're going through this in your mind, all of a sudden it dawns on you, holy moly, the Lord's got something else. And just like John, when Jesus said, baptize me, he stepped back and said, I don't think I'm qualified to do that. I said, Lord, I don't think I'm ready to leave Huntsville. My wife and my family and myself have been traveling every 3 years, moving for the last 22 years. If I go to that woman and tell her we're moving again, there might be some talking going on. I'm not sure how that's going to turn out. So, next thing you know, I get a phone call. Guess who that was from? Y'all know. Honda. They called me up. A woman named Betty Smith. And she said, is this Neil Rent? And I said, yes, it is. And she said, this is Betty Smith from Honda Jet. We would like to grant you an interview. And I said, oh, really? Greensboro? North? Hold on, is that north or south? Where are we going? What in the world? You know, and just like John here, you know, the Lord, I just, you know, as I look back on it, I think to myself, there's the Lord. And he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, it'll be all right. Just let it be so. So I come here. And not only is he going to bring me here, but I've got a place for you to stay. I've got food for you to eat. I've got Christian believers for you to be associated with and confined in and in fellowship with. I've got everything laid out. What a blessing. Unfortunately, there's that little piece here down at the end where it says, then he allowed him. See, I wasn't as graceful as that. I'm going to be honest with you. It took me a while after coming here to be in full agreement. I still struggle a little bit with it. Be in full agreement that this is Greensboro, North Carolina. I'm not trying to insult anybody. You know, is where he wants us to be. But that sequence of events, as I read through these verses, it just like a ton of bricks. The Lord's saying, just let it be so. Isn't that wonderful to hear when he puts his arm and you finally realize that just let it be so? And what was John's response? There's no indication here of any argument. There's no indication here of any balking, going back and saying, now wait, are you sure you want me to? I'm not sure. There was none of that. And he allowed him. John's simple obedience was what started Jesus on his ministry. His 3-year ministry towards the cross. So, let's look at verse 16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, the Spirit of God descended like a dove and lightning upon him. And I want to talk about this whole situation. All four Gospels record this story. Mark has a pretty good piece for this, but I'm just going to give it to you. And this whole thing about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're going to have this car show, right? If you ever take apart an old car, an old piece, or an old something, the idea, the really good thing is here is to take it and to dip it. Take the frame, take all the parts, and dip it in a chemical bath and get rid of all of the impurities, all of the rust, because a frame is tubular. So if you don't put it all the way down in there, all you're doing is covering the outside. You still got all that stuff inside. But if you dip it, then it gets in every nook and cranny, doesn't it? And they put it down in there, and they turn it this way to get the air bubbles out, and turn it that way to get the air bubbles out. And next thing you know, every part of that is fully immersed. Nowhere to go. That's the Holy Spirit baptism for us, isn't it? When he's in us, he has every part of us, every nook and cranny. And we can try and hide that little bit here and there, and I can eat those little white donuts on Sunday morning, but the reality is, they're going to catch up with me, aren't they? You can't hide. The Holy Spirit is there. So we've seen some water baptism, and now we've seen the Holy Spirit. We talked a little bit about the fire, but I want to attack this last verse before we go. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This voice from heaven. How many of you know Nate Bramson? You all know him, right? I was sitting right over in here somewhere on a Sunday morning when he was here last time, and he was sitting right in here somewhere, right? I wasn't sleeping. I'm telling you, I wasn't sleeping. But he stood up, and with this booming voice, "Jesus!" You know, and I can't do it very well, I'm going to be honest. But you've heard him before, and that kind of a voice is how I kind of imagine this. This booming voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." God is announcing to the world, "This is my beloved Son." Now, those of us that are married and have children, I'm going over a few minutes, but those of us that are married and have children, when you had that first child, and we had Christopher Renton, that first child, and I held him in my arms, and I kind of go over and show Joan, and come on, look what we've done. I've never done anything this good in my entire life. You know, it's that little child. And then you have another one, and look what we've done. You have another one, and look what you've done. By the time that fourth one, I love my children, don't get me wrong. By the time that fourth one comes along, look what we did. Doggone it. Finally, I announced to Joan, "Look, we've got a boy and a girl and a boy and a girl. There is not a third kind. There's no third kind." You know? So we stopped at that point. But "This is my beloved Son." He's announcing to the world, "My Son. And I'm giving him for you. I placed him here in the human form for you." What does he say next? "In whom I am well pleased." One of the versions I read said, "In whom he is fully pleased." And I kind of like that better, because it really gets rid of all room for error there, doesn't it? "Whom I am well pleased" means, well, is there more or less? No, "in whom I am fully pleased." There is nothing better. I have nothing better. God the Father is giving His Son, and there is nothing better than that. I just sit back and I look at these few verses and I say to myself, here is God the Father, in a booming voice from heaven, saying, "This is my Son, in whom I am fully pleased." We have the Holy Spirit coming down in a visual form. It isn't a real dove, but a visual form. And then we have the Son of God in human form, standing right there in the presence. All three. And I thought to myself, this is God. This is His Son. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the best three combination you're ever going to get. No matter who wins the Super Bowl, this is the best combination you're ever going to get. And why are they here? They're here to start Jesus on His ministry for one reason: to save the human race. To save the human race. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes I think about that and I'm just kind of a little bit overwhelmed. They came for us. Because He started there and He finished. He started His work with righteousness. John, we will do this for righteousness. And when He finished His work, it was perfect all the way through. And on the cross He said, "It is finished." Last three for the night, they pierced His hands, His feet, and His side for us. Let's give Him the glory and the honor that all three rightfully deserve. We know they're the three in one. All three deserve it. It's amazing. Lord, we come before You. We thank You and we praise You for this opportunity to open Your Word and see these amazing things that we can read time and time again, and all of a sudden just strike us as a wonderful situation. So we thank you, Lord, for your word that reminds us and shows us your glory, your perfection, your work being finished from start to finish, all the way through. But we thank you for it, Lord, in your worthy and precious name.